And it's Janine with Life is a Beach. And today on the line, I have SAPRO, Audrey McMillan, CEO of SAPRO on the line. And welcome, Audrey. Just so nice to hear from you again. We haven't spoken since, what was it, May, June?
I think it was about May. Yes.
Was, hey? And so much crazy stuff has happened since then. I mean, with these boats being parked outside harbors and... You know, I saw a joke on Facebook this morning where it had all these boats parked out the harbor and then it had an arrow saying, the new tracking device, your parcel is here.
Well, and then unfortunately, that is the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disaster at the moment, unfortunately.
And what caused all of that? I know we've had COVID, so I know that was a disaster for all of us. But was it the influx of now people ordering from home that used to go to the shops? What is it that you think could be the reason behind it?
So it's a combination. And the biggest one actually is to do with China and the US. So suddenly at China, when they first got the COVID virus, their factories all shut down. And then the US ordered so much stock so that all the containers went from China to the US. And so there's empty containers sitting in the US, which are not being cleared in time. So there's a shortage of containers all around the world. So that was the main thing. The other thing is people were then suddenly mass buying products. So the demand went up and the freight industry just hasn't managed to keep up. So unfortunately, and it also goes back to that, the vessel that was stuck in the Suez Canal.
Oh, I remember that.
Even that had a knock-on effect because then all the ships had to wait to get past that. So they haven't caught up yet, and it's not going to get any better for some time soon. It's going to be a mess for quite a while to go.
Oh, my goodness. And as far as SAPRO is concerned, the ordering system now, does that change somewhat?
It doesn't change. We're still getting all our orders in. The problem comes to get, first of all, an empty container, because in theory, the vessels are supposed to come in, offload their containers, which then go to the customers and they unpack their stock, and the empty containers go back to the depot. But the problem is because there's so many vessels that are actually coming in fully booked, sometimes the vessels don't even stop at the port. They go by. So there's a shortage of empty containers coming in. And then the problem is getting a booking on the vessel to send the container out. So we've got a warehouse full of stock because we couldn't pack many containers in September because there was such a backlog that we couldn't get free containers and we couldn't get space on the vessel. So now we're trying to play catch up and get our containers out during October as quickly as we can. But it's everyone's having this problem. And the reverse side of it is that a lot of manufacturers here are waiting for stock to come in. And because there are delays in the ports all around the world, a vessel that may take 3 weeks to get here is now taking 6 weeks.
Oh, my word. Mm. And just a matter of interest, does having air freight, because obviously with the airlines being cut back during COVID, does that is that something they've been looking at as an alternative, is using more air freight than sea freight? Does it affect the price?
It does. And so air freight, we always say, is the absolute last option. Air freight is astronomically expensive and shouldn't, if you can use sea freight, that's where 80% of all the goods that go around the world is done by sea freight. So air freight is astronomically expensive and the rates keep changing. So it's all to do with supply and demand. And so that's actually the other knock-on effect that's happened, is the freight rates have gone up because there's such a demand for it at the moment. I don't know the exact percentages, but the freight rates are the highest this year than they've ever been in history before.
Oh, my word. So is sea freight cheaper because you can stack so many containers on a ship, whereas in an airline you're limited?
Okay, so when you do sea freight, you've got a 20-foot or a 40-foot container. So you've got a lot of stock that you can put in that container, which allows you more products to spread the freight costs over. And those freight vessels take something like 10, 20,000 containers at a time. So air freight is much more expensive, but you've got limitations in terms of the height of a pallet, and an airplane can only take so much cargo. It can't take anywhere the amount of cargo that a vessel can take.
So you look at sea freight versus air freight, where air freight will, for instance, be ideal to take flowers overseas.
Yes,
but sea freight would be ideal to take stuff that fits in a tin or a carton.
That's right, yeah. So some people, we've actually started doing air freight of meat to a customer in Africa, up in Africa. So that'll go air freight. But anything that you find in the shelves in the stores, you can send by sea freight. And that is always your most economical option.
Now, that's interesting, because one always wondered about that, and it's only really come into being now when we start to see on social media how people are ordering for Christmas, and their ordering system is now all pear-shaped because it could not be that the stuff hasn't arrived and of course there's by sea, and of course there's a knock-on effect because it goes, I would assume, through customs to a distributor who distributes to the wholesaler, who then goes to the shops. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes. Yeah. So the other thing is, normally when we already pack our Christmas containers in September, and the later ones in October, but that's when we already pack our containers for our customers to go for their Christmases around the world. What they have to do is they, unfortunately, some of their containers may not arrive in time because of this delay at the ports and the knock-on effect. I mean, I heard recently that there's a strike in Italy for something. And then, you know, wherever there's a strike, then it's going to have slow down the vessels coming in at the ports. So this knock-on effect is just, it's causing huge problems around the world.
And does that mean that going forward, suppliers directly to the public need to sort of plan properly and say, you know what, maybe I need to give myself an extra month now, where before we didn't have so many people ordering online or ordering from overseas, now that I need to add an extra month?
Yes, and that's what we've told our customers. If your normal delivery time is 3 weeks, rather make it 6 weeks. I've got some of my customers who normally only carried 3 months worth of stock, and they've increased it to cover themselves for 7 months just to get on top of things, you know, so that they've always got stock. They unfortunately have to have a larger stock hold on their side. The problem is the problem on our side is that we can't order too soon in advance because we always try and get fresh stock. So we had we bought stock for our September containers. We ordered in August. Then the shipments didn't go out because we couldn't get vessels, and we only packed them in October. So the shelf life, we've lost 4 weeks of shelf life on the product before it's even loaded in a container. So then that's a problem for us, because the customer's going to complain that they haven't got fresh stock, but you can't, you know, rotate the stock we ordered in for a specific customer and then we have to send it. So that's what happens.
So it's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And the catch-22 comes in really when you're at the first end, they're at the other end, and all these things in between are out of your control.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And the thing is, it's very difficult to explain that to a customer who may not be familiar with how the freight industry works, that unfortunately there is so much that is out of our control that there's nothing we can do. We can be ready on our side, but if we can't get a space on a vessel, we can't pack the container, and then it sits.
And of course, there's pressure on the local suppliers of fresh produce. And by fresh produce, I don't mean carrots or lettuce. I'm talking sort of rusks, chutney, tomato sauce that have a shelf life.
Yes.
And you're challenged now with that because you have to challenge your suppliers to be able to have a larger shelf life.
Yeah, because and they're not really set up for that. So unfortunately, what we try to do is at least when the containers arrive with our customers, we try to give them at least 6 months shelf life on the product. But this could be going down to 5 months because of the delays along the way.
Oh, goodness. So there's quite a sort of a long line of things that are happening that you wish you could just jump into the seat of Transnet, be at that port and say, okay, guys, I'm in charge now.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But the other thing that people don't realize is it also has an effect on your cash flow because you've bought all this stock, it's sitting in the warehouse, and again, you can't pack the containers to get the stock out, but you still have to pay for the stock. So then it becomes a cash flow nightmare as well. And the containers are taking longer to get to the customers. So obviously their payment is slower than before. So it's a bit of a nightmare at the moment. Yeah.
So you have quite a gap. And I think for them at your end supplier, the South African shop in Hong Kong, UK, wherever that shop is, they're now having to carry a longer stock. So their payment of income versus when the stock arrives to when they're able to sell it, which is a 5 month period, could also affect their cash flow.
Yes, it could.
So everybody has an issue somewhere that they have to try and play catch up.
Yeah. And it's not going to come right for a while yet. To build a vessel takes many years. So it's not as if you can say, okay, next year we'll have more vessels or something like that. Because it just takes so long. So unfortunately, this problem is not going to go away anytime soon.
Oh my goodness. When do you see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel? And I know you're not a fortune teller, but perhaps you could give some sort of idea of next year this time. Next Christmas could be better.
Yeah. I was told that, they should possibly have some new vessels coming in 2023. But whether that happens or not, I don't know. And unfortunately, even if one port or one country comes right on their side, they've still got to go through these other ports or countries that may still have their problems. So unfortunately, it's just not a quick fix solution.
Oh my goodness. But Audrey, it's been awesome chatting to you. Thank you for the catch up. I think if we could chat possibly once a month just to get the next update, it would give everybody an idea, especially everybody listening overseas. One of the ladies emailed me and said DHL couriered her packet of knickknacks.
my goodness, and that must have cost a fortune.
I said to her, but there's a shop right nearby you, because there was a when I worked at the market, and I said to her, you know, in Tottenham there was a market that had a little South African shop in it. You just had to phone me, I'd give you the number. She's like, oh, weird, I didn't know. I said, absolutely.
I mean, I'm surprised she didn't actually know, because I mean, those South African shops are well known.
I think she just arrived in London. I don't think she's been there long. I think they're kind of between, betwixt and between, trying to find a home, trying to find a car, trying to find a job more than anything. And I think it was one of those things. She just said, I'm having a miserable day. I want my knickknacks.
And she got them. Good for her. Well, hopefully next time she'll go to a shop and get them cheaper.
Well, she was delighted to see the list I sent her, because a lot of them are quite close by, both to her work where she's hoping to find work and to her where she's hoping to live. So that was quite a good one, that when somebody does something like that and informs me, I can actually advise them that there's a lot of Sapro supplied short stores nearby.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. Well done for helping her.
It was a pleasure. Love being in the middle. At least I could help her. I mean, unlike your job, you can't go out and get that ship into the water and put the container on top of it and sail it.
No, unfortunately not.
But thanks so much, Audrey. And of course, if you need to visit their website, it's www.sepraInternational.com, because the internet has been worse than the shipping.
It's up there with that as well, yes.
And load shedding.
Yes.
And yet we continue to live in Africa.
Yeah.
Audrey, it's been a pleasure. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks Janine. Jess. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And you've been with Janine from Life is a Beach, and we've been catching up with Audrey from Sapro, Exporting Home Abroad. And of course, she brings you all those wonderful nostalgic moments when you can buy your local products. Some of their challenges have been shipping. And of course, today, nearly at the end of October, they're desperately trying to get you your goods overseas by the time Christmas comes. So good luck, Audrey, to you and your team. And thank you for joining us.